It wasn't that many years ago that your moms and dads were standing right here, and they were holding you tight as you were dedicated to the Lord in this sacred place. They were holding you so tight, they didn't want to let you go. And that's one reason that today is such an emotional day. I mean, while we're congratulating you on all of your wonderful accomplishments, it's a time to let go, isn't it, parents? And that's not an easy thing to do. Your church was also holding you close that day, holding you close with love and support and prayers. And what we want to say to you today is simply this, that we love you. We're so proud of you. You all have done so well. And we want you to know that this will always be your home. This is a sacred place. This is where your faith has been developed, where it has been nurtured, and hopefully where it has been challenged. High school graduation, as Ty said in his call to worship, is one of the great milestones of life. And you all have reached this milestone because you have been blessed. I mean, you all have wonderful families. Your families have been there for you. They have loved you. They have encouraged you. They have given you every opportunity. All of you have traveled overseas. You have been given all of the resources that you have needed to excel in life. And each one of you, you're going off to great, great universities. Olivia and Sheldon are going to Appalachian. Emerson and Ethan are going to NC State. And Maggie's going to UNC Chapel Hill. You know, you'll be there with my grandson. And even though I'm a State fan, Maggie, every now and then I'll put on light blue. Jimmy, you going to do that as a granddad every now and then? Maybe, no. He's still thinking about it. Oh, he'll come around. And I'll tell you one thing about where you go to school. You're going to fall in love with it. And it's going to be home, and it's going to become a sacred place in your educational pilgrimage. But now on Friday night, for Maggie and Olivia and Sheldon, and for Emerson and Ethan on Saturday morning, you're going to go through a once-in-a-lifetime experience, high school graduation. There's no other time in your life quite like it. You'll have other graduations, but there's just something special about your high school graduation, because there is no other time in your life where you have such great potential and unlimited opportunities. Your graduation is known by a certain name. Have you ever noticed that they call it a commencement? They don't call it high school completion. It's not just about the success you've already had, but it's called a commencement because you are launching out. You are commencing a great journey, an exciting adventure, a tremendous pilgrimage that will take you to places, as Eli said in that litany, to unimaginable places. God has plans for you, and it will be exciting to see these great places that you will go. But along the way, let me share a couple of things with you. A couple of things as you embark on this great journey and pilgrimage of life. Number one is simply this. Always let your faith define who you are. Let your faith define who you are. The great temptation is to let others define you. The great temptation is to be defined by an ideology, or a philosophy, or a movement. Don't let these things define you. Don't let others define you. Don't let politics define you. Oh, please don't let politics define you. Don't let a system define you. In this passage that Tori read a minute ago, it tells us that you are someone very special. You are God's chosen. You are God's special possession. You are a royal priesthood. You belong to God. And never forget that. That's who you are. It's in your DNA. Always allow your faith to define who you are. And here's something else. Let your faith define others. Now think about that. Let your faith define others. It was also in that litany that it says we're created in the image of God. And that's talking about everyone, even people who don't acknowledge God, even people who worship a God in a different way, even people who don't know God are created in the image of God. And part of the problem that we have is when it comes to other people, especially people who are different than we are, we tend to allow society, stereotyping, we tend to allow others to define these people as well, especially people with whom we disagree and with whom we have differences. But if we remember that every person is a unique individual, created in the image of God, and that's what you have been taught your whole lives, we will treat them with kindness and respect, and we will have tolerance, and we will try to come to a mutual point of understanding. You know, it is so easy to stereotype. And when we start stereotyping people, it's so easy to judge people, to condemn people. It leads to prejudice and discrimination. Let me share something with you that happened a few years ago that's a good example of this, and I'm going to use myself as an example of some time that I didn't view somebody else. I didn't view them as someone created in the image of God. We had gone off on one of our famed Bible study field trips. Now, when you get old, you'll get to go on bus trips with the senior adults. That's something to look forward to. And so like 40 years from now, you can go on the 65th annual Bible study field trip. I'll still be leading them, I'm sure. We'll go off to some exciting place. Well, a few years ago, we went to Louisville, Kentucky. And as part of our tour, we went to the Louisville Slugger Bat Factory, where they make a lot of the major league bats, that bats used on every different level. Have you ever been there? You need to go. Let me tell you, Jake, you need to go. It's an exciting place. So the bus had pulled up in front of this place, and since we had a large group on the bus, I said, if you folks would just stay on the bus, I'm going to go in and I'll get the tickets and find out how they want us to enter and all this stuff. When I got off the bus, I looked over there, and there was a motorcycle gang. I mean, there were a bunch of guys with these big motorcycles, and they were standing there with their leather jackets, and they had chains hanging down, and they had all these logos, and they had tattoos, and they had earrings. And I looked over there, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't see them as created in the image of God. I just saw them as troublemakers. And I thought to myself, what's a bunch of thugs like you doing over there? I wish you all would just go on. I did not have kind thoughts, I confess. So I went inside, and I got the tickets, and it took me a few minutes, and when I came back, those guys, the motorcycles were still there, but the guys were gone. And you know where they were? They were on our bus. And I thought, oh my soul, they've hijacked the bus. I mean, the ringleader had the microphone and he was speaking, and I could just see him. All right, everybody, take your wallets out, your credit cards, put them in the bucket. I mean, I could see the headlines in the dispatch. Local pastor abandons group, bus hijacked, motorcycle gang to blame, and all of this. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I left these poor, helpless people on the bus, and they've been hijacked by a bunch of thugs. And then I got a little closer to the bus, and I realized what was going on. These guys were all Vietnam veterans. And every year on Memorial Day, Vietnam vets will ride their motorcycles to Washington, D.C. to go to the Vietnam Memorial to pay homage to their buddies who died and to proclaim freedom for this great nation. And see, what I didn't know was, as soon as I got off the bus, all those poor innocent people on the bus started waving at them. And there was this one lady, you may not know, Mary Hooks. She goes to the Methodist Church. She's a wonderful person. Mary got off and said, "Who are you people? Come on and tell us about yourself." Mary's never met a stranger. And my group told me that was one of the most inspirational moments they had ever had. And see, I had totally misjudged them. We need a rebirth of kindness in this nation and civility. Enough of the stereotyping. Enough of the discrimination. Enough of the vitriolic and harsh rhetoric. We need to be kind. We need to look at every person through the eyes of Christ. And then on this great, great journey, there's one more thing I want to tell you. When you get to the fork in the road, and there will be many, but when you get to the fork in the road, in the great words of that philosopher Yogi Berra, take it. When you get to the fork in the road, take it. Now, you may not know whether I should go this way or whether I should go this way, but that's not what's most important. What's most important is to make a decision and to take it, even though it's taking a risk, even though it's stepping out into the darkness, even though it's not being guaranteed what the outcome is. Because while God has great plans for you, you're not going to know them unless you're willing to risk and unless you're willing to take that fork in the road wherever it will lead you, even though it may be pushing the envelope, even though it may take you out of your comfort zone, take it. Because I want to tell you a story. Too many people get to the fork in the road and they just stop and they turn around and they sit down or they go back and they take the easy, convenient way out. 1973 and 1974, I was in college. At the end of the 1973 baseball season, one of the greatest home run hitters of all time, Hank Henry Aaron, only needed one home run to tie the legendary patriarchal Babe Ruth. He had 713 home runs. He needed one to tie and one to break the record. Now, I was in college. He played for the Atlanta Braves, by the way. And we were like 3 hours away from Atlanta. So we were sitting around the dorm room one night talking like you're going to do. And we were saying, man, wouldn't it be great if we could be there when Hank Aaron breaks the record? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be sitting in the stands and we could be a part of history and we could always say we were there when he broke the record? Then we started speculating. We said, well, you know, they're opening the season in Cincinnati. They're going to open on the road, but then they're going to have their opening night in Atlanta against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so this is what we thought would happen. We thought that Aaron would hit at least one home run in Cincinnati so he would tie the record. So he would go to Atlanta, opening night, And on opening night, in dramatic fashion, he would break the home run record of all time. And we were saying, guys, we need to be there. We need to be there. We need to be a part of history. And so we all decided, six of us, that we were going to Atlanta to be part of history. Now, you got to remember, this is like 40 some odd years ago. And we didn't have internet. I mean, if you wanted to go somewhere, you do Ticketmaster or StubHub or something like that. We had a rotary phone. I don't even think that invented push-button phones, not in L.A. anyway. So, and to dial long distance, it took about 10 minutes. So we went through all of that, and we finally got the Atlanta Braves on the phone. I got this really nice lady. I said, ma'am, we're sitting over here. I'm a student at Samford University, and we want to come to opening night. We want to see Hank Aaron break that record. Do you have any tickets left? She said, I have a few, but they're going fast. She said, I have a few in the upper deck in the outfield. I said, that doesn't matter. I said, guys, she has tickets available. They said, yes, go for them. And so we made all the arrangements. She said, I'm going to put your name on these tickets. And then she said, let me read the information back to you. She said, now you want six tickets for opening night, April the 8th, 1974, a Monday night. And I went, whoa, wait a minute, what'd you say? A Monday night. I said, guys, it's a Monday night. We had classes the next day. And one of the guys said, I don't think he's going to hit it that night, do you? I mean, come on now. You know, we started thinking we wouldn't get back home till like 4 o'clock in the morning and have to be ready for 8 o'clock class. No, he probably won't hit it that night. No. Well, what about Friday night? Oh, I have a lot of tickets for Friday night. I said, give us the tickets on Friday night. Yes, we're going to be there on Friday night. And he's going to break the record. Season opens. He's in Cincinnati. He hits one home run just like we predicted. He's tied with Babe Ruth. It's opening night in Atlanta. Stadium is packed. National television. Celebrities everywhere. We're watching on television. At exactly 9:07 p.m., Hank Aaron delivers a home run into the over the left field fence into the bullpen. I got that out. Into the bullpen. He breaks the record. All over campus, we can hear the cheers. People are going crazy except us. We're sitting there with us saying, oh, what could have been? What could have been? We went on Friday night. I want to show you something. Show and tell. They were playing the Cincinnati Reds. There were like 500 people in the stands. The Braves got beat 14-2. It was cold. It was raining. It was miserable. You see this? I caught that at a Major League Baseball game. Well, I didn't really catch it. The ball was hit over into that section over there. There were like 5,000 empty seats. And I went over and retrieved it. And I brought it back as a painful reminder that this is what happens when you come to the fork in the road and you do not take it. When you have an opportunity in life to be a part of something great, to find those unimaginable places, don't hold back. Go forward. Go forward on faith. Take the risk and become the people that God is calling you to be. And become the people that God is calling you to share with others. As Kevin said in the scripture from Isaiah, arise and shine, for your light has come. Today is your day. Do great things in Godspeed on the journey.